Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
God's presence could be in many other forms. For instance, we've already mentioned it. He was in that cloud by day. He was in that pillar of fire by night. He could be in this angel that he sent, and he would be. And that might have been all that he was referring to. Moses don't know. Is that what you mean, God? You're just going to be in some kind of thing? Is that going to be your presence now with us? You're not going to be right here in the midst of our camp, but you'll be somewhere on the outside, but your presence may be in something. And so Moses doesn't like the answer, so he presses on. He keeps asking some more. Look at verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, what Moses is saying right here, he said, Lord, listen, I'm serious here. If you're not going to be with us, if this is not going to be an intimate one-on-one, if you're not going to be our God, if your presence, your glory is not going to be with us, don't even send us to the promised land. Don't even, let's just quit now. Because honestly, it's not going to be worth it if you're not with us. He said in verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? So if you're not going to do this, Lord, how's people going to know that you're the one going to receive the glory for this? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So he's reminding God, listen, you told us we were your people. You said you'd be our God. Now, if you're not going to do this, then how's this going to look to everybody else? These heathen nations that have been watching us all this time. These nations that you told us we're going to go in and we're going to wipe out these cities. We're going to take over and we're going to go into the promised land. How are they going to see this when they hear about this? And so Moses is just being blunt here with the Lord. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Here he is again giving this great assurance. And it must have been thrilling for Moses to hear God say this, that he would do as he had spoken. In other words, I will go with thee. I won't leave thee. My presence will stay with you. I will be your God. You will be my people, and I'll continue doing this. And that's essentially what he's saying. And he told him that he has found grace in his sight, once again. And to top it all off, he knows his name. He knows him by name. Aren't you glad tonight that God knows your name? We can know people's names, but if they don't know your name, it don't do you a bit of good. If you can know the name of God, you can know the name of Jesus, but if he don't know you, it's for nothing. I'm glad that God knows us by name. In fact, it's because God knows us, he knew us first, he loved us first, that we know him and love him. And so I'm glad of that tonight. And I believe God probably uses the correct pronunciation of my name. While nobody else may do it, but I bet God does. People have a hard time with my name. But anyway, he knows Moses by name, and he knows him inside out. Look at verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now this is the verse I've been trying to get to this whole time. Now we can preach. Notice that Moses keeps on pushing God. Hey, listen, God's put up with him this far. He might as well keep going, right? I mean, he's made it this far. He reminds me of Abraham when the angels come to him and told him he's going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he kept bargaining with him, you know, what is 10? What is, you know, 20? What is this and that? And so Moses is doing the same thing. He's pushing on farther. And he says, well, okay, then I beseech thee, show me thy glory. If I found grace in your eyes, if you know me by name, if you're going to do all these things, then I want to see your glory. So in verse 13, he wants to know what God's ways are. And also in verse 13, he wants to know his person. Verse 15, he wants God's presence in his life. And here in verse 18, he wants to see God's glory. Now, you put all those ingredients together right there. What Moses is saying is, God, I need revival in my heart is what I need. God, I need to feel your fire down in my bones. I need a touch from you, God, is what I need. I need to know your ways. I need to know your person. I need to have your presence in my life, and I need to see your glory. Hey, we'd all love to be in the glory of God. There's nowhere else that you need to be other than the presence and glory of God. And so you put all them together, that is real, true revival. And Moses needs to have his spirit lifted. He's been going through a couple of hard months here. These people have really, really tested his limits. And so now he's got his spirit lifted, his hope is filled, his zeal inspired. And would to God that every one of us had the same desire tonight in our heart to be revived like this, to know God's ways, to know God is in his person, to experience the presence of God and to be in his glory, to see his glory. A lot of people talk about wanting to see revival. I hear people a lot of time, I wish we'd have revival. Oh, I want to see revival in this land. I told you this morning, I don't believe we're ever going to see a so-called universal revival where all these people come to Christ or anything like that. I believe, like the Bible says, things are going to get worse and worse, and there's going to be a remnant here left, and I believe that with all my heart. But we will see revival in spots, in certain places. You may see a city break out in revival, maybe a county, maybe one church in particular, or a group of people over here, or some state. You may see places where revival is done. But I want you to know, when most people are talking about revival, they're not really meaning what revival means. What they're talking about revival is some exciting worship service where everybody gets out of control. Maybe there's a lot of shouting and singing and praising and running and hugging and weeping and crying and all these things. And that's what most people consider revival. Those things can happen in revival, but that is not revival. Revival begins in each individual's hearts. It starts in your heart, and it's when you desire to know God, to be in God's presence, to see God's glory, to have God in a personal way with you. And when it comes down to that, most people are not interested in that. Because when you start talking about knowing God on a personal, intimate level, it means you're going to have to change some things about you. Because your sin and the things that are in your heart most of the time are not going to line up with God's holiness. And so to be able to know God the way we need to know Him and experience true revival, to really be in His presence, to really see His glory, we've got to rid ourselves of our flesh, of our sin. We've got to clean ourselves up, and we've got to know God the way that Moses is asking to know Him, in the intimate way. And so revival will not ever happen until your heart gets intimately close with God. And that's what Moses desires here. And he asked God for it. How many of us would boldly go and ask the Lord for these things? We say we would, but do we really? If real revival broke out and people were, their lives were being changed, and we had to start doing things differently than what we normally do, I guarantee you there'd be somebody who wouldn't like it. Somebody would not like true revival if it ever happened because they wouldn't know what to do. It would affect them in some way. It would disrupt their life. It would cause them to have to change something or do something differently that they're not comfortable with. And so they would rather just pull away from there because true revival to most people, they could not stand it. If revival broke out here in their church, no doubt there'd be somebody that would get upset. I don't mean anybody sitting here tonight, but somebody somewhere would not like it because it's never been this way before. I don't know how to handle it. My life's never going to be the same. You know, I'm going to have to do this or do that. And so they wouldn't be comfortable with it. Look at verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So God is agreeing here with these things that Moses is seeking for. He agrees, I'm going to give you revival. Now keep in mind, when God says, I'll give you this, I'll show you, I'll be gracious with you, and I'll give you my goodness, and I'll let it pass for you. Moses did not earn God's grace, his mercy. He didn't earn it. He asked for it, and he didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it, but God simply agrees to it because God, by his sovereign grace, agrees to this. I will do this for you. I will bestow my grace. Now, what's grace? It's unmerited favor. When God does something unmerited, unearned, undeserved, some kind of blessing or mercy that God gives us. It's his sovereignty on display. Now, people, when you start throwing around the word sovereign or sovereignty, they start saying, he's a Calvinist, he's a Calvinist. Get that out of your mind. God is sovereign. Everything in this earth passes through him. He knows all. He sees all. There's not a thing that goes on that surprises God. So when he extends grace and mercy, it is because of his sovereignty. It is because we did not deserve it, but God loved us so much that he said, I will give you grace. That's what he's doing with Moses. He will give him grace. He said, for thou hast found grace in my sight. So, Lord has just bestowed it on him. Notice there in verse 19, he backs up his sovereignty. He says, he will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. It's at God's discretion. It's God's prerogative. If he wants to bestow mercy, he will. If he wants to show grace, he will. If he don't want to, he will not. And so it's up to him. Look at verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Well, the truth is, nobody would be able to look upon God. Now, we know God's a spirit. The Bible tells us God is a spirit. No man has ever seen God at any time. So he is a spirit. But the Bible always relays some kind of bodily shape to him. And however that works, I don't know. I can't explain that to you. But we do know it talks about God's right hand, and God said his arm is not short, and he talks about different things. Right here he says, you can't see my face. Well, God is a spirit. He has no face like you and I would have. But when he's coming here before him, in other words, what he's saying, you cannot see me in my true glory. If you was to look upon my true glory without me veiling myself, you would die right where you stand. And the truth is, we would all be that way. We'd be so overwhelmed we could not stand in the presence of such glory. And the reason being is because God is so holy and magnificent and glorified, and our flesh is so disgusting and weak and sinful, we could not stand in such presence of God. Now, we will one day when we reach glory, when we go and meet the Lord, and we will be able to look upon him. We'll be able to be in his presence, in his glory. Verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I'll put thee in the clift of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, this picture that we have here, the Lord has drawn for Moses, it's a beautiful picture here of a place of safety with God. God's giving a place of safety. He's going to allow Moses just to get a glimpse of his glory, just enough that we know when he comes down off this Mount Sinai, he comes down and he's glowing. The Bible says his skin is glowing. People can't look upon him. They're afraid of him. He's so bright. And he doesn't even realize he's that way. He's been in God's presence. So he's got God's presence, has glorified his face so much that people can't look at him. And so this is a picture here of a place that God has, a place of safety. And this, by the way, is a shadow of our place in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Moses had a rock that God had gave him. He says, you stand on this rock right here, you'll be in this place of safety. It'll protect you, and I'll come by and you'll experience my glory. Well, that's what Jesus is to us. He is our solid rock. Christ is our rock. And we are safe in Christ. And His glory is what we have. We don't have any glory of our own. We have the glory of Christ, and because we're safe in his presence here. And friends, that's where we are in Jesus. We're safe in Jesus. He is our rock that we're safe in. Now, Moses at this time will forever be changed. His life will never be the same. He will have such humility about him. He'll have so much worship about him. He'll have so much a high view of God about him. And he will forever be changed. And I want you to know, when you get saved, when you receive Christ, when God moves inside of your heart, you're forever changed. Everything about you is different. At that point on, you'll not ever be the same.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Bavely Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.